Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin'.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate you dialing in. Got a good number of people that are interested in this topic. We got a lot of feedback telling us, hey, well, this the innovation thing, there's certainly a lot of need for innovation. And that's what we're talking about again this week. And we're going to be doing that throughout the month of July. So got a good number of guests and some really exciting news coming up. The last broadcast, we've got a surprise guest coming on. We'll be announcing and talking about correspondent lending and how it's being reinvented. And some real neat innovation going on there. We'll tell you all about that when we get a chance. And but it's good to have you with us here, with us on the broadcast. And be sure to tell others about it. Again, it's July 13th. We say that to those that have downloaded and listening to this broadcast. We have as our special topic, again, innovation. And our special guest is Tony Garitano. Many consider one of the most informed guys of what's going on with innovation, at least in the overall, generally speaking, but definitely in the technology sector. Again, this broadcast is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're the proud recipient of the Progress in Lending Award, the Innovation Award. Thank you, Tony Garitano. Appreciate that so much. Also, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. Again, United Guarantee has been here for the second, third year in a row. They are the number one MI leader in the industry for the fourth consecutive year, and we're proud to have them as a sponsor. I want to call the attention again to the full file underwriting from United Guarantee that delivers certainty to you for what you, when you're, you know, from delivers the certainty you're looking for from a mortgage insurer. Submitting a loan to United Guarantee for a full file review means you have rescission protection from the date of closing until you provide accurate and required loan information. In other words, you're protected in there. And they really have a whole lot of services that are reformed around or designed around keeping you, the lender, with the best options possible. Again, United Guarantee's full file review never has additional costs. They provide 24-hour turnaround. That's amazing. And the most experienced MI underwriting staff in the industry. Plus, United Guarantee's unique consultative approach to underwriting means you get a real person on the phone when you need real answers, and they help you work through those. So it's a great resource. Check it out at www.ugcorp.com/day1. Mortgage insurance underwritten by United Guarantee Residential Insurance Company. Also, a special thank you to Velma, Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant, Velma.com. Check them out. They do a great job. Set it and forget it, or they get involved. You can do the set it, forget it campaigns. It's a great feature. Or you can do what I do, and that's a lot of interactiveness with them. They're great. We have the National MBA Conference that's starting. The mail should be appearing in your mailbox if you've ever signed up for one of those conferences, and I encourage you to be there. Lots of user conferences. I'll be talking about that next week. Joe Farr, good to have you with us today. Man, interesting. I heard something, Joe, that just cracked me up. They said that was the Greek prime minister said that we have come to a new agreement, and I go, that's a great play in words, new agreement. So anyway, good to have you with us, Joe. What's happening in the markets? I got your screen up here. Looks like we've got some. Yeah,
we've got it. We started out lower today. That agreement that you described was theoretically reached over the weekend, at least at a very high level. There's still a lot to be done, but this morning MBS prices opened a good bit lower, and they've since recovered all that. Potentially, that's due to the fact that there is just so much more yet to be done on the agreement to actually fund the additional lending to Greece. It's been pretty much this way for how long now? I mean, over the weekend, the lenders basically forced Greece to accept their terms, and in order for the deal to be finalized, the Greek parliament's going to have to vote on several things that are going to be required of them to implement very quickly in the process, some of the requirements forced on them by the banks. And then subsequent to that, there'll be a number of other parliaments that will need to approve the deal throughout Europe. So even though they say a deal's been reached, I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of you know, being possible that it won't happen. With all that has to be done. And that's why we've seen today, after starting lower by about a quarter of a point, we're back to where we ended the day on Friday. So, stocks have done as you would expect, given the deal being done. The Dow was up 200 points earlier. It's off of that a little bit, not much. And we've seen a nice little rally in the stock market. Early last week, stocks had fallen. The Dow had fallen to just about 17.5, and now we're very close to 18,000. So we've seen a nice turnaround there.
Yeah, no kidding.
So last week was a very volatile week. If you were paying attention, you probably received favorable or unfavorable price changes just about every day. And in some days, you received both, just indicating how the market's been reacting to the news out of Greece and also the news out of China. The growth rate in China has been slowing. And recently, we've all heard about the drop in the Chinese stock market. And there's great concern that decline in worth that so many people had accumulated is going to slow growth even further. And China's got the second largest economy in the world. And given that, any slowdown in that economy, even though it's still a fairly rapid pace compared to most of the other places in the world, is going to be felt. So we're feeling it somewhat in our area. The U.S. economic data that came out last week, Dave, was really not – it took a back seat to all this other stuff. The ISM Services Index came in pretty much as expected. The JOLTS report did show a little further improvement in the job openings level, and that happens to be at the highest level since they started doing this survey, but really didn't have much of a market movement event because the growth was small and many of the other measures were virtually unchanged. The minutes of the Fed meeting from June 17th were released during the week last week. There, too, again, were very few surprises and not a lot of market reaction to it. It did indicate a little slightly more dovish tone among the Fed members, and that was in before some of this Chinese data came out. So given that data and given the situation in Greece still not being resolved, I think the market perceived that the dovish comments and the current events were enough to maybe push out later into 2015 the first Fed funds rate hike. So that did cause a little bit of a rally in MBS prices last week. But after all the movement last week, there was almost no change in MBS prices by the end of the week.
It's really interesting. To see all the dynamics that went on last week with Chinese markets and then Greek. I mean, do you really think that we're going to see, as we look forward to the week this week, or we're going to still continue to see Greek deal to be determined? They have a parliament meeting on Wednesday to vote to see if they pass. If they don't, then we're in trouble. But I mean, what's your thoughts about the overhang of this? Is it going to be again foreign dominant for what the week ahead?
It could. We do have some pretty important economic data coming out of the U.S., but I don't see this Greek thing being anything but additional headlines day in and day out this week. And you know, that has been enough to cause significant volatility.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, what else do we have on the calendar this week? Got some
retail sales. Yeah. It comes out tomorrow. That's a very important report. PPI on Wednesday, along with industrial production. Thursday's jobless claims, Philly Fed and the Beige Book, and then Friday's CPI and housing starts. Janet Yellen's going to be doing her semi-annual testimony in front of Congress Thursday. Let's see, is it Thursday and Friday? Then that could have some influence on mortgage rates. Usually it's a pretty long, dry, uneventful
yeah.
couple of hours each day. But
someone that only someone who runs MBS quote line could appreciate. One person wrote, it's, I'd rather listen to Joe's commentary than Janet yelling, dribbling on him with her drive about what's going on. So anyway, that's hilarious. That's good. It's fun to get the feedback as we're doing this. And if you guys want to email me, email me at dlickin@mbs-team.com. It's really fun to get your commentary as it's happening, or text me. I get a lot of text. So that was hilarious. Thank you. That you know who said it. So, I mean, I know who said it. So I'm commenting back. So good stuff, Joe. So you think at this point, you know, the overall trend is still an upward pressure on mortgage rates? I mean, overall, even though there's some dovish tones, or do you think, you know, what's happening is, you know, like you say, is that wishful thinking, hopeful thinking, or do you think we might see that? I know you don't prognosticate and you hate it when I put you in that place, but
I don't think you can consider reactions to headlines a trend. And so
that's right.
You know, if Greece gets resolved and that's taken off the plate of uncertainties, and if China, if their path on economic activity becomes clear, I think that we'll be back to relying on how much U.S. economic data is going to influence inflation and how much it's going to influence the Fed.
And
I think continued volatility.
Yeah, volatility and still upward pressure overall. That's kind of what I'm thinking too. So, well, it's valuable stuff. Appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us each and every week. And then, of course, I sit here with your website open and looking at the markets ticking up, folks. You got to have it. There's a lot of other services out there that do this kind of thing, but nothing is quite as clear, concise, and to the point. You know, do you want to become an analyst, or you just want to make a decision and run your business? I think the latter is the goal here, isn't it? If so, check out this message of how you, too, can get signed up for the service. We'll be bright back after this brief message.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market. Market.
Whether you're in the office or on the road,
see for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free 2-week trial.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
It's good to have you with us. Several people have commented. So I didn't mean to kill the music like that, but several people commented that I sound different. Well, we're using a new service. They've got a new hi-fi digital service where you can dial in. So we're dialing in through that, and hopefully it sounds better to you all out there. But someone that I always like hearing to and I think sounds great is Paul Mala. We always love having him on the broadcast, and it's good to have you here, Paul. I'm in your website, another great resource, www.imfnews.com. If you're not signed up for it, listeners, be sure to do so. Let's take a look. Jumbo MBS tumbles almost 33% in the second quarter. Big headline right up there that Brandon headed off with. What the heck?
Well, what can we say? There was some change in some reporting requirements on Jumbo MBS, and Chase actually came out with a deal late last week, which was one of the first changes. You know, we're not sure why Jumbo MBS issuance tumbled. It could start picking up again. I mean, the bottom line is, look, a lot of lenders continue to make jumbos. They love the product. The banks put it in portfolio, and right now, it's still a toss-up on the economics. Is it better to securitize or, you know, do the old carry trade on jumbos? And so, you know, that has been the continued story of the jumbo market the last couple of years. So we'll see what happens. There's plenty of interest in the securitization business, but, you know, it's just one of those things we're going to continue to watch. And, you know, see how it plays out. But listen, I mean, again, lenders love jumbo loans. What is there not to like, unless you're making zero down payment jumbos to people with bad credit, and no one in their right mind is doing that. So big story we had this morning that, well, sort of big, we've been tracking all the executive changes at NationStar closely the last year or so, and there's been a lot of turmoil there, a lot of, you know, you might say revolving door of executives. David Hissey left earlier in the spring. You know, there's been a couple other top people leaving, and, you know, the most recent one who we believe has left is Chad Padden, who is Executive Vice President of Originations. They didn't exactly confirm that to us. We heard Padden did leave, but they put out a press release this morning naming a new executive of origination. So, and then they also have a new compliance person who used to work at one of the street firms. So what's going to be interesting to watch for NationStar is how they do in that second quarter earnings. You know, I talked to a couple analysts who said that if they don't come close to, you know, meeting that earnings projection, it's going to be you know, pretty ugly with the stock. So we'll see what happens. They probably won't report.
Big news.
My guess is they won't report till sometime in August. They're not usually as quick as the mega banks. So, but it's obviously a stock that people are going to be watching really closely. So, Freedom. George Brooks interviewed the head of Freedom, yeah. Stan Middleman, who loves that business. It looks like he's pretty bullish about the second half on VA lending. He's staffed up nicely. We've written about that before. They've added something like 700 to 800 workers to do FHA V lending over the past 7 months. So we have Carissa Chappell did an update on the GSE suits. Investors Unite had a call late last week. We quoted one attorney, Matt McGill, who basically says the government's not interested in settling the matter. And that's probably not surprising to anyone, but we just figured we should update the situation because those sweep cases are closely watched by a lot of people. MIAC, which stands for Mortgage Industry Advisory Corp, they're well known in the servicing business for their analytics and hedging services. They've launched a new broker-dealer affiliate, which is headed by Stephen Harris. The company wouldn't return our phone calls or emails, I should say, so we're not sure what the strategy is there. We'd like to do more on that story, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully they'll talk to us about it. Short takes, we got a couple items. Putnam is now owns 10.3% of Altisource Asset Management Corp. Yeah, that's one of the many spinoffs of Ocwen. I think there's three different Altisource affiliates that are publicly traded. They're in the same boat as NationStar. If any of these companies don't deliver in the second quarter, it's going to be another lookout below on the stock price. We talked about the 10-year Treasury a little bit, and I know Joe touched on that. Arch has got a risk index model, and they came out with some new numbers on their risk index, and they're basically warning about North Dakota and Texas. And I know, Dave, you're based in Texas. Yeah. I don't know what the home price situation is like in Texas, but everything's tied to oil as far as North Dakota and Texas are concerned, probably more so in North Dakota than Texas. A lot more diversified. And I don't know if you're hearing from lenders in your state if they're really worried about prices or not, but that's obviously on the mind. They're not. Okay.
Yeah, they're really not. At least in Austin, they're not. Parts of Dallas is diversified enough. I mean, Houston take more of an impact. Now, it's interesting. I was born in North Dakota and now live in Texas. So.
Both crises.
Exactly. So it's fascinating. But no, there's not as much worry here. Definitely North Dakota. I mean, that economy, try to fly into Fargo and drive to any of the oil feed. You can't get a rental car up there. It's just really screwed up when I go to visit family. Wow. So that is a much more precarious situation. I think we're a bit more diversified down here. So yeah, the ag sector will not cover the losses in North Dakota. So it'll be interesting. Good stuff. I tell you, I mean, Paul, you do such a great job with all this stuff and what you're covering here. I just don't know how people deal with that. And anytime you run a story, then you mention me in it or Chuck Klein, my business partner. I get emails. So you're widely read. I encourage our listeners to pay attention to it. Did we miss anything, or does that pretty much cover it?
That's all the good stuff. There was a Hamilton Group hired someone. Nitin Dave is his name. Nitin Dave. Vice President in charge of servicing, and the only thing I think is interesting about that is that he worked at Fannie Mae for 25 years, and now he's working for a mortgage company down in Sunrise, Florida. So, summer's a little slow for news. It's starting to pick up. 4th of July was a little slow, but we're starting to see more stuff come out of the companies. And obviously, second quarter earnings start this week, and we'll be watching that closely as well.
It's always good to have you on, and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day chasing all these stories down, Paul. Greet everyone there and all our friends and folks. Sign up for www.imfnews.com. You'll be glad you did. Keeps you informed on what's happening. Thank you, Paul. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Let's run over and talk to Alice Alvey. It's always fun to have Alice on here. She gives us the updates of what's as the stomach turns, is her segment. I call it informally. As the stomach turns, a regulatory update of what's happening, compliance and regulations. And if you're looking for someone for training, folks, got to tell you, Alice and her e-learning system is really taking off and getting some traction. Very cool, Alice. Love what you're doing. What you got for us?
Thank you, Dave. Well, you know, as everybody, I feel like every time I talk, I have to start with the word TRID and where are we at with that, right? So we do have that the comments had to be posted by the 7th, which was last Tuesday, so after our last show. So the update now is the MBA did post their comments. You can go in and read those. I just wish they'd get those out sooner so the rest of us can go ditto, 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 right? If they would get those out sooner, we can all kind of chime in and say, yes, I'm in agreement with that. Now, the thing that was slightly different is MBA in their response is looking for us to try and make sure, or CFPB to make sure that they provide an effective date of October 3rd, but with this grace period in there, and then a formal implementation 6 months after that. We've got different groups chiming in. Can you make it January 1st? So I think they got enough feedback from the industry to certainly give us a date in the future. I am hoping we will know any day now. I don't think they got that many comments that they can't get through them here in a short period of time and come up with a formal statement as to at least definitely giving us October 3rd. And whether or not there'll be any framework around that to give us any leniency, you know, we'll listen to Paul Mallo for that late breaking news, right, on where we end up. we do have Senate Bill 1711. That is designed to also try and track with that. It was formally introduced, although we're still, as of this morning, didn't have any text on that to see if that will track to also potentially give us an extension and a true safe harbor from any lawsuits. I do want to give everybody a heads up on the consumer complaint database normalization proposal from the CFPB. You have until the end of August to give comments. You need to take this time now to go check to see if your company is listed in the published comments in the complaint database. This has been around now for a little over a week. When you start looking at the comments, if I'm the compliance officer at a company, I mean, which I am at IndyCom, but in terms of an active mortgage company that might have somebody who posts a comment, I've got a lot of concern right now is what I'm seeing getting posted and how it's being edited. So this normalization proposal will give you the opportunity to respond whether or not you're comfortable with the way these comments look. I have a problem with them. I don't think they're editing them well. They're editing out most of the numbers and personal information, but they're including a subname. So let me give you a quick example. They could be complaining about a company, but then the subservicer might be named in the body of the complaint, or vice versa. There could be a complaint that really belongs as a complaint to TransUnion or Experian, but they're naming the lender. So there's names that I think need to be reconciled better. They're not classifying problems correctly. If I'm a lender, I want to know is something a servicing or an origination problem, and they're not being categorized like that. So there definitely needs to be better sorting, better categorizing, and better editing of the messages that are being posted. But folks, you got to get out there and find out who's complaining about your company. If you don't have any, look at what's there and come up with policies and procedures for responses, and if you're even going to respond. So that's my heads up, because you do have a little window here on this complaint database to be able to respond with some comments on how it should be better structured. We're not going to necessarily be able to get rid of it unless we can see some real problems in the way CFPB is editing, but at least we can get it cleaned up a little bit. So, Dave, I know we want to make sure we have plenty of time for Tony. I'm so glad we get to talk about technology. So I'll just leave it there. Those are my two hot buttons for today.
Two good hot buttons, and you got some innovation going on with your e-learning system, and I think that's what one of the things I'm excited to kind of interject into that, Alice, because when we talk about innovation, it's not just technology, it's all the other things that are going on. So e-learning is a lot, so we'll hopefully get that in there as well. But folks, we're going to be right back after this. Yeah, be good. Have good to talk to you. Good to have you on. And we're going to be right back after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Yes, it will give you the edge. No question about it. So good to have Sam Garcia with us. We've got, again, you have to check out mortgagedaily.com. You know, I like Paul, what Paul does, and he's got some great stories. I'll tell you the one, there's a lot, he covers, Sam Garcia, Mortgage Daily, covers a lot of great stories as well. It's a good balance, and it, like, you have two eyes in your head to give you depth in the market, what's going on. This is the second eye that I've got in there, and I'm looking at it regularly for some of the things that he comes out with. And so, Sam, it's good to have you with us, my friend. Well, let's get into what some of the good stuff you're tracking.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. And the most recent news would be the mortgage market index for the week ended last Thursday, which, of course, included July 4th holiday. The index was down 8%. Not bad, considering it was a holiday week. The biggest loss was on ARM activity, which dropped more than a fifth from the previous week. We did our mortgage employment index report, and we estimate that mortgage employment for the whole industry, including people at banks and credit unions, was about 544,700 people as of the first quarter, and that's down from 577,800 at the end of last year. And what we saw as far as trends in that report were that Florida, Virginia, and Texas had the biggest losses, while at the same time New Jersey, Wisconsin, and Illinois had the biggest gain. So kind of seeing a little bit migration going north there for the mortgage industry. Real estate delinquency at banks was reported at down 11 basis points for the first quarter compared to 3 months earlier by the American Bankers Association, and that was on home equity loans. On home equity lines of credit, delinquency dropped 6 basis points. A little bit of good news there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
But over at FHA, it was a little bit different story. We got the data for May, and it shows that delinquency of at least 30 days on FHA insured loans, including bankruptcies and foreclosures, soared 69 basis points April to May to 12.31%. And again, that includes foreclosures and bankruptcy. So, look, they've been doing pretty well, but that was a little bit of an uptick there. At MGIC, they reported some monthly data, and both their delinquency rate and their monthly business, new business, was the best it's been since at least 2009 and before that, probably, because we only have data back to 2009. So some good results there for MGIC on a monthly basis. This past week, two financial institutions, Premier Bank and Trailblazer Credit Union, were shut down by federal regulators and state regulators. And that brings the total number of companies we've tracked this year that have either mortgage-related companies that have either closed down or failed to 13. It's actually down quite a bit compared to some of the prior years. So we're seeing continued improvement. One other thing we covered here was that jumbo issuance, according to Fitch, they put out a report that said it's on pace to hit $14 billion this year, which would be better both than what we did in 2014 and in 2013. So prime jumbo issuance looking pretty brisk, at least for the first half of the year.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a lot of stuff to track out there, and I appreciate that you have been here for us and continue to be here with all these kind of updates. Folks, check out what Sam does at mortgagedaily.com, and I kid you not, you'll not be disappointed. The amount of data that's in here is the reports that he has, in addition to some great news stories, is just, it's really, really good. Get a hold of Sam at samgarcia@mortgagedaily.com or give him a call at 214-521-1300. It's good to have you with us, Sam. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
You betcha. All right. Let's say, I remember saying you betcha. That's my North Dakota roots. Yeah, sure. And so one time someone say I was on Fox and I was on with one of the guys there. In fact, he's now on the Five. And he goes, did you just say you betcha? And I go, yeah, I said it's my Minnesota roots. And he says, Sarah Palin says that all the time. It drives me nuts. So anyway, I got a chuckle out of that. The Profit Doctor is on vacation. And so we do not have him with us. So we've got Tony Garitano coming up right after the break. Good to have you with us, everybody. Tell others about it. We'll be right back with Tony Garitano talking about innovation in the mortgage industry.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. We have as our special guest today, Tony Garitano, who is the founder of Progress in Lending. Now, Tony has a distinguished career in journalism and has been was very involved in reporting on the technology area. And he broke off from his previous employer a while back and started Progress in Lending. And I encourage you to check it out at his website, www.progressinlending.com. It's good to have you with us, Tony.
Good to be here. How are you, Dave?
Good. Normally, man, we've talked to you at different times when you've been a regular on the broadcast. Can't wait to get you back on with one more regularity. I know you had to break away for a while, but we always love your updates, and especially as we're doing the innovation in what's going on in the industry. It just seems so appropriate to have you be the one. As one guy wrote me, he says, Tony's the oracle of what's going on. At least he knows what's going on because of your network. And I think that's really some of the things you're doing in Progress on Lending. Just before we get into a lot of the talking points, I don't want to waste a lot of time with this. It's not wasting, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But, you know, give us a little idea of what Progress on Lending is about. What's your vision? What's your mission?
Well, we started it 5 years ago. And it's really about providing a network and a platform for people to discuss technology innovation and industry innovation. It's really about moving the mortgage industry forward, and we cover a lot of technology news, but also a lot of just lending news, you know, whereby companies are doing stuff a little bit out of the box that we think our readers can learn from and hopefully grow their business as a result.
Well, let's get into the discussion by starting with a definition of innovation. I think a lot of people go, I think we all assume innovation. Some people, when they hear the word innovation, think of technology. Some people think of business processes. Some people are going, what the heck is it? And so if you would provide your Progress in Lending, Tony Garitano, definition of innovation, appreciate it. Let's start there.
You know, I think it's a good place to start the conversation, but a lot of people think of innovation as this huge, sweeping change, and it's got to be this earth-shattering thing.
Ah, yeah.
People see it. It just blows your mind away. But I think of it as just creating a better mousetrap. I think if there's got to be a really clear problem and you come out with a really clear solution that maybe even piggybacks off of something that was there before. But innovation can be incremental, and I don't think it has to be something that blows you away each and every time.
Well, it's so good because people do think of the word innovation as some, wow, that's life-changing, like the Apple Watch. I mean, my daughter has one. My brother has one. You know, I don't think the price will ever come down, but I'm holding off a little bit for Gen 2 of that product. But that's one of those things where that is really cool. People have them. That's a wow. But I think your point is really well taken. It's when it's those incremental things that take a step by step to that next next level of performance or improvements, and that's healthy. Would you say that the mortgage industry is innovative now, or is it stagnant? What's the condition or the state of innovation in our industry is another way of asking the question.
Well, you know, I mean, I always wrestle with this question, Dave, because for me, it's kind of like two-pronged. I mean, I always feel like the mortgage industry should be innovating more than it actually is. But so when I first think of the question, I think, you know, is the mortgage industry stagnant? Yeah, the mortgage industry is stagnant. It should be doing so much more. But then I think about it the other way, too, in that, you know, the mortgage industry is continually innovating in small increments and small steps. So innovation is alive and well. It's probably not as robust as I would like it to be personally, and as I have projected that it would be in the past. But the industry is always innovating. So I think innovation is alive and well. It's just, as I said, kind of when I defined innovation earlier, it's small incremental steps towards an end goal, and it's not huge sweeping change.
Well, let's get over to get Alice's thoughts and some of the questions from Alice. Alice?
Well, and I would actually like to continue off of that one because, Tony, from my perspective, I mean, it feels like we can't be as innovative on new things because since really 2008 when we started to have to deal with the prospect of Dodd-Frank and then 2010 and 11. I mean, we've spent the last many years just playing catch up with new regulations and trying to understand where we have to be and then coming up with an innovation to try and solve where we have to be instead of trying to be able to be out of the box. I mean, do you think that's a component of it, or is there more to it than that we're not looking outside of our box as much as we should?
You know, I think the mortgage industry too often, holds near and dear to its heart the existing mortgage process that has been around since electricity was first created. In my view, compliance and regulatory change should be a positive for the industry because it can be something that really differentiates one company from another. For example, I was talking to a lender 2 weeks ago, and he said the same thing, Alice. He's like, you know, this is horrible. We're overtaxed, actually, with these new rules, and they don't seem to be stopping. But my company decided a long time ago that we were going to go into this full bore, and the way we tackle these new rules was going to be a differentiator for our company. And I think if lenders view it that way and technology vendors view it that way, you're going to see continual innovation. And those are the companies that are going to stand out. You know, it's like getting a root canal or going to the dentist. You don't necessarily want to do it, but at the other end, you could be better for it if you go in with a positive attitude. And I think too often lenders don't have that positive attitude, and that can be a hindrance. So use technology and use compliance as an innovating spark for creativity.
Oh,
that was my advice.
I love that. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get too far off topic, but to me that was kind of where I know a lot of listeners' brains might go. So will new technology companies come into this space and innovate going forward?
You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of new companies, Alice. Mm-hmm. I think that the space, to your point, is becoming very regulated. And a lot of times new companies will come into a space when it's, you know, the wild, wild west. And we saw that a lot in the mortgage industry, especially during the dot-com days where, you know, every other day, from my perspective as a journalist, I was hearing from another technology company that said they did this and that better than anything else in the world, and you don't usually hear that anymore. You hear a lot from existing companies, tried and true companies that have been in the space, that know the space. So from my perspective, I don't hear much from new companies. That doesn't mean they're not out there. It just means that I don't necessarily see it.
So we're a technology company. We have wonderful programs that we offer. We have our Income Analyzer product. We have our Kaizen product that handles QC software, essentially handles the QC process in both a SaaS model and we outsource that process. We have other products on the drawing board that are we want to bring out to the industry. So, you know, what innovations are you seeing from other existing technology companies?
Well, I think, you know, for example, if we talk about TRID, for example, because that seems to be what everyone's been talking about for at least 6 months now. Mm-hmm. If you hear, from the different companies, whether it be lenders or vendors in terms of how they're approaching it, I think that, you know, what you can glean from their strategy is it viewed as a major update, or is it just version 5.6.7 of their application that they happen to be working on for a very long time? And from my perspective, those vendors and those lenders that are approaching TRID from a dynamic perspective in terms of embracing, for example, dynamic documentation or changing their process to actually make it better, actually moving towards a better closing process and not just how do we deal with these new documents. You know, that's the innovation that excites me, and I do see some companies getting there.
So from a lender perspective, then, what innovations are you seeing?
I think from a lender perspective, it's about getting the word out about what you're doing more effectively. I think Quicken does a really great job in getting the word out about how much they're embracing the borrower and the borrower's perspective. I spoke to another lender about a week ago, and they were actively reaching out to borrowers when it comes to electronic refinances, which is not necessarily something new. Refinances have been done electronically for a while, but I think lenders are getting better at educating the borrower about new products that might have a technology angle that increases customer satisfaction and hopefully improves the process. So I think from a lender perspective, more so now than in the past, you've got to get the word out about what you're doing, because the borrower is not going to be knocking down your door. You've got to go after the borrower more often than not. So when a lender does something innovative, whether it be an electronic refinance or, you know, whether it be your customer satisfaction levels, the innovative lenders are getting that message out more and more, and hopefully borrowers are listening.
Tony, I had a question. This is Joe. You've talked a lot about what's going on. What's in your mind, what's one thing that should be done that's not being worked on right now? The biggest thing. There probably maybe be a lot of things.
Great question.
I think, you know, Joe, I've kind of gotten in trouble for this comment and this question several times, in that I've been one of those people that has been prognosticating about the coming of the complete electronic mortgage going mainstream for, probably since 2000 now.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that, and the electronic mortgages are being done, but I really thought that, especially with the coming of the TRID deadline, that more lenders and vendors would focus on making a fully automated closing process instead of just automating the new documents and what has to be done to make those documents accurate. So I hope in the future that there will be more done in that area. And the new CFPB pilot, I think, speaks to the need for that. But the CFPB can't be the one that comes out and says this is how you have to do it. They can come out with industry best practices, but if lenders are not ready, willing, and able, it's not going to happen, at least on a broad mainstream scale. And I really think more work should be done around that.
Yeah. Going back to the whole question about how much impact has new regulation had on innovation, that may be part of it, because at some point you just have to say, I can't bite off more than I can chew.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough for vendors and it's tough for lenders. I mean, these changes are sweeping in some cases. Sometimes they're minor, but I mean, in some cases they can be sweeping. And that takes a lot of time and money. And if you're a vendor, you know, that's resources that you have no choice but to allocate towards mm-hmm. compliance that you might normally allocate in other parts of your business. That doesn't mean it can't be a competitive advantage and you can't innovate. It just means that it's all about how you approach it. And I think that those companies that have been able to spin the rules in such a way that they actually advance the process are spending their dollars well. Those companies that are just, I guess, grinning and bearing it because they have to, you know, I think those companies have been considerably stalled.
So, Tony, what's going on in the industry, or what should be going on in the industry regarding mobile?
I think, you know, mobile is increasingly where the borrower is, Joe. And I think, I don't know about you, but I mean, I at least text on my phone several times a day. So, I mean, if lenders can be shooting out mobile alerts, if they have a borrower in a queue, I think that would be something that would be really beneficial. And I think a borrower would really like that. And I think using mobile as a way to get more visibility and more interaction with the borrower is something that the industry really has to do on a grander scale. Because as volume kind of is what it is, lenders have to kind of get to the borrower more. The borrower is not necessarily going to come to you. So mobile is a way to make the process more transparent, increase customer satisfaction, and I think keep the borrower more informed so that he or she thinks the lender is on their side. And not enough lenders are using that technology, yeah, in my opinion.
So, Tony, how is progress in lending helping in this regard, or is what's it doing to help the industry understand what is going on and what maybe should be going on on a larger scale?
Well, we hope that our stories reflect industry innovation and serve as a lesson for people reading them. I mean, progress is really about providing industry best practices about what people are doing, and hopefully the readers are actually saying, hey, that's kind of a cool idea. I should try that. But I think to Dave's point earlier in the broadcast, we gave the Lickin' on Lending radio show the Innovation Award. And we have that program going on as we speak. What we do there is we try to reward companies who are innovating. We give them awards, we feature them on the cover of our publication, and we tell the industry about what they're doing, because we think that the program is a way to reward people who are innovating, but also it's a way to get other people to innovate. And we hope that it can be a positive force in the industry that continues for years and years.
And yeah, we appreciate it that you gave it to the Lickin' on Lending show. But what are a couple other things that you have acknowledged with that reward?
You know, well, for example, the first year that we did it, which was, like I said, 5 years ago, Joe, we rewarded MISMO 3.3 or 3.0 at that point. And what happened with that was it was the transition from DTD to schema, and it really marked a turning point for the data standards organization. And I like to say that we were ahead of the curve, because now Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, and even the CFPB have said that when you do these new TRID documents, when you do the when you did the new appraisal deliveries that happened with UCDP, you had to use the new latest MSMO standards. So, you know, that's an example of where I think progress was maybe a little bit early in recognizing the efforts of MSMO, and now the whole industry is on board. And that innovation is going throughout the industry right now because they have to embrace it finally. And I think that that opens up opportunities for other companies to innovate.
Good. Back to you, Dave.
All right. Well, you look at what is out there and what keeps people from the hindrances, as we were talking about. I mean, would you say the regulation and the burden that's on everyone is really a significant hindrance to what's happening?
I think it can be. I think it depends on how you look at it and how you incorporate it into your roadmap, whether you're a lender or a vendor. I mean, there are some lenders that prepared and some vendors also that prepared well in advance for TRID, for example.
Yep.
And I think that those companies really had time to think about it and are really being very introspective about how to improve the process. But on the other hand, Dave, I mean, I hear from lenders, you know, at the technology show, which was in April. And
yes.
They were still scrambling.
Yes.
and they thought the technology vendors were going to do everything for them. And they didn't have to do anything. And so
they weren't listening to Alice, that's for sure.
I'm sorry?
They weren't listening to Alice's warnings on that. But on the radio here, we've been telling that forever. So, but yeah, it really is amazing. But yeah, it's a good example. When you look, I want to find out, I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe that time just flies when we do this broadcast. It's the fastest hour, I think, of my life. One of the things I want to get into, and several people have said, Dave, this is all interesting, but what is Tony excited about? So if you look over the landscape of things happening or that, you know, people call you and pick up the phone and call you, by the way, folks, I encourage you to do that. If you're thinking about doing something innovative, Tony's someone you can talk about it with and you can trust that he is going to hold it confidentially. You don't have to worry about him giving up trade secrets or anything like that. But from what you're hearing, you're in the pipeline of this communication. What excites you that we can look forward to coming to pass here in the industry?
I think what really excites me, I mean, there was a company that I had spoken to a while back. They're called Roostify. And what really interested me about what they were doing is they were trying to pull different data elements into the origination process that would necessarily, sew the process together very neatly. So, for example, you know, when you apply for a mortgage, you have to provide your W-2 and you have to provide your bank statement. Well, why not just ask the borrower if you can get those things electronically and then go directly to the source to get that information and pull that into the loan? So I think what companies that are picking up different pain points and incorporating them into the process electronically so the borrower doesn't have to do that, I mean, that really excites me. And I wish more companies did that on a regular basis because so much of the process that is still paper can be electronic. And I think a lot of times lenders and technology vendors dump the onus of providing that paper on the borrower, which I think also opens us up to unnecessary fraud, too.
Right.
And that really can – technology exists today to get rid of that problem.
Yeah. It's a great enabler. It should be taken advantage of, viewed as enabler. Someone just texted me a question. They say, Tony, do you see anyone coming in from the outside, a major entity such as a Google or something like that, taking getting involved in their industry? Watch Microsoft try that. It failed miserably. And the complexity of this industry, they found out after they got into it. Do you see any of that happening?
Well, Google bought MoreTech, I believe, a while back.
That's right.
And MoreTech is a product and pricing engine. Mm-hmm. So Google is actually in the mortgage space, and my guess is that will expand. They, as you know, I mean, they're a huge search engine that has tons of information, so why not include mortgage information in that?
Yeah.
So I would expect that they're going to expand that MoreTech offering and do more in the mortgage space in terms of making mortgage information available to borrowers and connecting borrowers with lenders. I wouldn't expect them to be a lender or to be a full-fledged technology vendor that offers an LOS per se, but they seem to be a lot, or they seem to enjoy being that huge repository of data.
Well, they are that. Boy, that is the truth. I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time, Tony. It's just so good to have you back on. One, someone else just shot a question. How big is video and explosion that's happening with Vimeo, YouTube, all of that? I mean, that is an explosive area. And do you see more of that coming into play? Real quick, yes or no?
More lenders are using it as a way to educate borrowers, and more vendors are using it as a marketing tool. So I think we actually had a meeting with our lender advisory board, and those that were using video said that it was very successful, and those that were not said they're looking into it.
Yeah, I think it is a wave of the future, folks. You got to stay tuned up and pay attention to that area. That's something we're seeing a lot of. Tony Garitano, so good to have you with us. Our guest has been Tony Garitano, founder of Progress in Lending. You can reach Tony at 203-529-3131 or email him, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at progressinlending.com, or check out the website, progressinlending.com. Good to be with you all. Tony, thanks so much for being a part of the broadcast. Good to have you on, man. Got to get you back on a more regular basis. Appreciate it. Miss those updates that you used to do, and we got to get you back for that.
Thank you, Dave.
It's good to have you here, friend. Folks, we're going to have Scott Harris as our guest next week. You'll want to pay tune to that. There, Scott is an experienced innovator. He has a proven track record of a number of previous innovations, and now he's going to be talking about his two latest innovations next week. So be sure to come back. It's good to have you with us. A special thank you goes out to, of course, Joe and Alice, who join me each week on this, and wish Andy Schell a great vacation on his. And hope you guys are all having a great summer. Tell others about the broadcast and look forward to having you back next week. Thank you so much.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.